Thank you. Call to order, regular meeting of the Oceana Community Service District for Wednesday, September 28th. Roll call, please.
Director Gibson?
Present.
Director Montez?
Yes, here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Vice President Villa?
Here.
And President White?
Here. Would you all stand and join me in the flag salute? Ready, salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Agenda review?
Nothing.
Anybody have any changes, amendments?
No.
Mr. Clemens?
Roll call, please.
Make a motion, we approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
We're moving to second, and all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, passes 5-0. Move on to public comment on matters not on the agenda. Public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. If a member of the public wishes to speak at this time, public comment is limited to 3 minutes.
Good evening, Charles Varney. At the last meeting, there was a dialogue that happened. Director Gibson said, I want to verify with Mr. Clemens that we don't have authority to collaborate with other agencies, correct? Clemens responded, depends on what the issue is. We certainly can if it's within our services we provide. Gibson, so that would just be services like fire, water, and sewer. Clemens, yeah. Well, the Oceano Advisory Council, that has no authority at all, collaborated with other agencies who did have authority and created a $15 million grant proposal for curbs, gutter, sidewalks, flood control infrastructure in Oceano at no cost to residents or businesses or OCSD. That's how things happen. The flood control thing going in on 19th, and Paso Robles is a pretty perfect example of that, of how OCSD could be collaborating to do water recharge and at the same time get flood control and tie that into another agency that's doing curb gutters and sidewalks. That's how big things can happen in Oceano in terms of infrastructure. Mr. Clemens at the same meeting said, OCSD cannot spend time or money on services we do not provide. That would be illegal and we're not going to do it. So I have mentioned that many times in these meetings, but it seems that to have landed on deaf ears. But for everyone who is listening, we can only spend time and money on services we have been authorized to provide. Well, according to LAFCO, that's not true. I've talked with LAFCO staff and administrators. OCSD has the same rights as the supervisors or city councils to express a position or opinion on an issue if it chooses to do so. For example, homeless problems in Oceano. OCSD could take a stand and propose to the county that maybe they look at using the Southern 100 campsites in their campground at Pier Avenue and Highway 1 to house the homeless. Additionally, the general manager really has no authority to dictate to directors what they can choose to put time and energy into if they so decide in terms of taking on an issue that is important to the community and participating in a collaborative effort. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, move on to special presentations and reports. We need next to adopt a resolution proclaiming October 9th to 15th, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week. Do you want me to read it first and then?
Sure.
Good evening, Chief.
Good evening.
Would you like to say something and then I'll read this, or should I just go ahead and, okay, here we go. Oceana Community Service District, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Services District proclaiming October 9th, 15th, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week. Whereas the Oceana Community Service District is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in the visiting Oceano, and therefore fire is a serious concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the location where people are at greatest risk of fires. And whereas home fires caused 2,580 civilian deaths in the United States in 2020, according to the National Fire Protection Association, and fire departments in the United States responded to 356,500 home fires. And whereas smoke alarms sent smoke well before you can, alerting you to the dangers of the events of fires in which you may have as little as 2 minutes to escape to safety. And whereas working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying in reporting home fires in half. And whereas Oceana residents should be sure everyone in their home understands the sounds of the smoke alarm and knows how to respond. And whereas Oceana residents who have planned and practiced a home fire escape plan are more prepared and will therefore be more likely to survive a fire. And whereas Oceana residents will make sure their smoke and carbon monoxide alarms meet the needs of all their family members, including those with sensory or physical disabilities. And whereas Oceana first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protective education. And whereas Oceana residents that are responsive to public education measures are better able to take personal steps to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes. And whereas the 2022 Fire Prevention Week theme, Fire Won't Wait, Plan Your Escape, effectively serves to remind Oceana it is important to have a home fire escape plan. Now, therefore, the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Service District does hereby resolve, declare, determine, and order as follows. The Oceana Community Services District does hereby proclaim October 9th, 15th, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week through Oceano, and the board urges all citizens to plan and practice a home fire escape for Fire Prevention Week and to support the many public safety activities and efforts of fire and emergency services. And all we need is a motion.
Okay, I'll make the motion that the Oceano Community Services District proclaims October 9th to the 15th, 2022 as Fire Prevention Week.
My second.
Public comment.
It's on the table, still public comment? Seeing no one come forward? excuse me, yes.
Yeah, we
Madam President and Board, thank you so much. Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief, thank you so much for this proclamation. Fire Prevention Week happens every year in conjunction. We also do a burn relay throughout the county to raise funds for children that have unfortunately been burned in structure fires, to provide them guidance in the camp where they can go with other children and just be kids. The Fire Can't Wait, Plan Your Escape is really, typically we're really focused on kids during Fire Prevention Week, and we're really focused on open house, and we are bringing back our first post-COVID open house on October 8th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Arroyo Grande Station. I left flyers for you on the dais. But we really want to spend time with adults, focusing on the plan. And it's a great conversation to have with your family. I said during dinner, but you know, there's vegetables involved. So maybe during dessert, to talk about what are two paths to escape your home and where's a meeting place where your family's going to reunify so you can account for one another in a safe location. And we want people to talk about that plan along with making sure their smoke detectors are functional to reduce their risk of injury or death. So again, thank you for the proclamation. Hope to see you at the open house, and I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Looking good, Chief.
I need a roll call vote on this proclamation. Thank you.
So, Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Montez?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Moving on then to staff reports. And we already had a... Mr. Chief, would you like to give any kind of other reports while you're... put you up first?
Thank you, Steve Lieberman, Fire Chief. Just briefly wanted to give you an update of Five Cities Fire. Been a very extremely busy past few weeks. We're grateful for the bit of fire, but sadly, based on the weather and patterns, that new growth is going to dry out and create more fuel. This weekend, we ran multiple calls out of two stations where we couldn't respond to a third call, and CAL FIRE was requested as a mutual aid resource. Our year-over-year growth is now double digits. Typically, we average 4.8%, but we're tracking to be much busier this calendar year. With regards to the wind-down process and the aftermath of the election and the Third Amendment to the JPA, the Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach managers have been meeting on a regular basis to discuss what the future of the fire service in those two communities look like. Tomorrow is another meeting. And then as we are very close to October, we'll be asking Mr. Clemens to join us because we have some work product that has October deadlines that we'll need everyone in the room to review and begin the negotiation process on. So again, Five Cities Fire is responding and taking care of Oceano through June 30th of next year. And we hope we can work through all of this and come to a great resolution.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question, Chief? You said you're double busy, right? Is that compared to last year?
So our typical year-over-year increase is 4.8%, and we're over 10% higher already this year than the same amount of time last year.
So on the third call, you said Oceano or AG and I think I heard Grover and or AG responded to a call, but there was a third call that wasn't responded to?
So remember, two-thirds of the time we're operating out of two fire stations.
Correct. Yes.
So on those days, as soon as we hit two calls for service that are simultaneous or close together, our crews are committed.
Right.
If that third emergency call comes in, we request what's via mutual aid for assistance from a neighboring agency, and CAL FIRE was able to come in from Pismo Beach to assist
gotcha.
Us.
Gotcha. Would that also apply to CAL FIRE out about 5 miles toward Napomo? Would they be also, if maybe, let's say, Pismo was tied up, would they be next, if you will?
That's a great question. So mutual aid is a request. That's all it is. It's not a compelling order to come help us. So if the closest unit is available and able to respond, they will. So let's just assume that Pismo unit was busy in Pismo Beach. The next closest unit, if available, would come from Station 22 on the Mesa adjacent to the refinery.
Got it. Great. Thank you for clarifying.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I can't remember. I think a couple of months ago you mentioned that you were going to send out the notices to people who had needed weed abatement here in Oceano in the alleyways.
So weed abatement, that process is annual and it's calendarized. That process is completed. Folks that were out of compliance, we had a contractor abate those properties, and then we placed a lien on their properties using the county assessor's office.
Okay, because I walk the alleys all the time, and the Oceano Beach Community Association had been cleaning up the alleys, but it was quite a task. It's very, hard work, and most of us were women out there, didn't have many men out there helping us. So we kind of abandoned doing that, and I did notice, really big weeds again, dry weeds. So those people did get a notice and they have a lien on their property.
Yes.
That's what I'm concerned of, that, they're not getting the notices and that's why they're not taking care of those dry, huge weeds. Not only are they making, Oceano not look so nice, but they're a fire hazard.
Yeah, concur. So the notification period is, the process is to contact the registered owner on the assessor's parcel number. That's who all the correspondence goes to.
Excuse me.
I wonder why they didn't take care of it. Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Well, they might have taken care of it in the spring. This is a one time a year. It's not continual all year.
I know, but these are huge weeds that are already 4 feet tall and dry.
Yeah. Thank you. Mr. Maricino, please. Thank you. Utilities Systems Manager.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So for the past 2 weeks, we're continuing to do weekly and monthly samples. We had 4 work orders, 6 USAs, 8 customer service calls. We had 3 after-hours call-outs, 3 after-hour call-outs. 2 of them were for Lopez. They're on the Sunday, the 18th. It had to shut down again for about 3.5 hours. Talking about a shutdown, State Water actually shut down this past Friday for quite some time. It did not affect any call-outs or anything like that, but we were self-sufficient for quite a while. Basically came back online on over the weekend with the operator doing his rounds, brought the transmission line back up and started providing water through the State Water. We had a third call out for a customer to do repairs. We had to shut them off so they could do the repairs. We finished meter reading. All the fog permits are complete. We also had to exercise some few valves with coordinating with the water main replacement in the alleyway and notification for residents for parking and any time that the water had to be shut off when we did tie-ins. Most of the mains are installed in the alleyway. We're waiting on some samples to ensure the back tees come back negative. And then they'll be able to tie over the new services with the new water mains in place. We are replacing meters as needed. We actually jetted the old fire station's drain over there. After the rains, it did back up. Continuing sewer jet until it gets complete. Still picking up trash, and we assisted the South County Sanitation with some maintenance over there by jetting a few of their lines going to the headworks. They just needed them cleaned out. It's been a few years since we've been over there. And Lopez is currently at 23.8% full, which is 11,754 acre feet. Any questions?
What was the percent full?
The percentage is 23.8% full.
And Mr. Maricino, after the rain, where was the backup you stated?
The old fire station and where the AA facility is at, the porch is actually a little below grade and there's a drain that actually drains out towards Highway 1. And due to the trees and just debris, it'll clog up that drain and it can back up the patio there that leads to the building.
So it was because the drain was clogged with leaves and debris? Is
yes.
That why the water backed
it
up?
It did back up and we got notified of it by them. So we took the jetter over there and jetted the line.
Otherwise, if it's clear, there's no leaves, the
yes.
Water does
yes.
Fine. Okay, great.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Where was that located? Was
old
it in
fire
the,
station
in the street or on the fire station?
The old fire station where the building, the entrance is, they have a concrete patio that's kind of below grade.
Yeah.
And there's a drain that drains out towards Highway 1 that it does get full of debris from the trees and everything like
Did
that.
Did it impact Highway 1?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
Since that project's been done, there's no issues mm-hmm. with drainage that I have seen.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
General Manager, Mr. Clemens.
Thank you, President White. So we issued the notice to proceed for SCI construction to start the waterline project down on Highway 1 in the alleyway. We did that last week. And they're making good progress. They're almost complete with the alleyway. And then they'll be moving into Highway 1. So we're happy with the way that project's going. We've also been providing information to MKN Engineering. And they're the ones that are doing the engineering studies on Halcyon and Kenmar Gardens, so options for their water service. So they've been putting in some data requests for us, and we've been responding to those. We've also been coordinating with the Central Coast Blue engineering team because they're going to be bringing some of their lines down, I believe Truman and North Swing, and that's right where we have a proposed water looping project for our district. So we're trying to coordinate so that our water line could be constructed at the same time, and that'll save us money. So it's a little tight as far as all the utilities in the street there, but we think we'll be able to probably come to some agreement with them on that project. And that's my report.
Thank you. Any questions?
Did I hear you say you collaborate and coordinate with other agencies?
Yes.
On these jobs that we're doing? Okay, thank you.
I was wondering about Rick Ratty contacting us about buying water. Has that gone anywhere?
They have not contacted us yet. I'm waiting. My belief is they were waiting for the Zone 3 contracts to be approved, which would give all of the agencies storage in the lake before they decided on what they would do for water. But if you read in the paper, I think the one that really needs water is Grover Beach. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be surprised if Grover Beach also approaches us. So we're always ready and willing to provide them support if they're interested, but it's really up to them whether they're interested in additional water.
Well, they need it, and I don't see why they wouldn't, right? Because the Central Coast Blue is like 3 times more expensive. Am I right on that?
It's probably, yeah, over 3 times as expensive.
So it is to their advantage.
Then
give us money.
I think they need both.
What's the procedure if Arroyo and Grover both request water?
We'll work together to see what arrangements we can come to. It's all negotiation.
Okay. Public comment?
Charles Varney. I'm just curious, Kenmore Gardens, it sounds like they get service from OCSD, and do they vote in OCSD elections?
As far as I know, Kenmore Gardens is part of the Oceana Community Service District.
Yeah, so they're
just
in
like
our,
Oceano, just like Halcyon is.
Yeah, they're in our service area. We don't provide them water. They have their own well, but that could change because they're having issues with their water quality. And as far as registered voters that live there, yes, they're within Oceano CSD boundaries.
It wasn't too many years ago that we had a resident from Kenmore Garden on this board.
I never knew that. I always thought, what's your face? Oh, I remember, yeah, but I didn't. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Carol.
Yeah. Hmm. Any other public comment? Move on to board of directors reports. Start with Ms. Villa.
None.
Ms. Gibson.
Nothing to report.
Nothing for me.
Well, I do have something to report. I was at I went to the Zone 11A meeting, so I want to report on that. And as far as the channel maintenance, the goat grazing is complete for the year. And they graze from Barris to the Barris Valley Road area all the way to 22nd Street. And that the goat grazing helps get rid of all the invasive plants that are hard to get rid of. So then they're going to start seeding natives inside the levee bed. And let's see, on the flap gates, they're going to start cleaning and maintaining them the first of this month to get them ready for hopefully some good rain. And then the Sand Canyon, the one at the beach off of Strand there, there's a dune moving in, so they're trying to get the dune moved back and get that cleared up so it'll be able to function correctly during the winter. And then they talked about the Delta Lane, the homeless camp on Delta Lane, and that they have been working with all different agencies to get that cleaned up, and they said by October 15th that should all be cleaned up. That was about it. The Meadow Creek restoration and the lagoon, is still in the works. The science panel is meeting next week, and they're just still having a lot of meetings on things, on the alternates for the alternative sites to deal with the sewer line that's there. So that was my report.
Linda, can you, you said seeding in the creek after it's clean?
On the creek, on the banks of the creek.
On the banks? What are they, seeding certain types of vegetation?
Native flower plants, native seeds.
Gotcha. And on the flap gates, is that cleaning done annually? They do that? Okay. Thank you.
Annually, and then as needed, if something happens, they're down. They check that, you know, constant, have a monitoring system there. So if there's any problems, they're always on it.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Five Cities Fire Authority met on yesterday. Accepted a $13,500 grant from Cal Fire Foundation for hoses and other equipment to go on the new brush type fire truck that's on order from Pierce Company. And that truck should arrive by late fall, before the end of the year anyway. But one challenge we have is that all the Pierce companies are in Florida. And received a report from Steve Lieberman, fire chief, on A, two open firefighter positions, B, ongoing meetings before Oceana leaves the Five Cities Fire Authority, and C, possibilities for new public-private programs for ambulance services. It's kind of optimistic. It appears that the government compensates ambulance services that are linked to fire departments more per patient than they do if it's just a completely private enterprise. So we see some real potential, because the ambulance contracts for San Luis Obispo County are about to be renegotiated. And I don't know if anybody knows, but we have two ambulances that serve the area from Avila Beach to Napomo to Nuquiama to the whole area. There's only two. So sometimes they're a little delayed. Anyway, that was that meeting.
Karen, with this with this possibilities, would there be more ambulances or more service possibly? Is that what you're...
There could be more ambulances, and I don't have any details. I'm just kind of talking off the top of my head. But if an ambulance was... If the public entity could give an ambulance space in a fire station, they could work in coordination with that, would be part of a private-public thing. We don't know exactly all of what's going to happen, but just there's a great potential to... One of the long-term desires of Steve Lieberman, and he's not here to defend himself, is he always wanted to have Five Cities Fire Department have both fire trucks and ambulances.
So the goal package. The goal then would be, if I understand it, the potential goal would be that in case someone were to need ambulance service, and it's, you know, something like that, and the truck doesn't have to go out, but we got an ambulance that could, we're saving money with the truck not going out and the ambulance goes?
No, no, it wouldn't work like that.
Okay.
They both have to go.
Okay.
It takes four people to do the modern CPR. It takes four people on an ambulance. It takes one to drive it, or three, excuse me, yeah, one to drive it, one to do the medicine, two people to do the continual CPR that we are seeing very good turnouts about. People are surviving because of the constant CPR, where you can't
stop.
You can't stop, and they got to go from here to French Hospital. That's where the cardiac unit is for our county. So there's takes a few minutes to get from here to San Luis Obispo with continual CPR, because that keeps the brain alive. So that when people do survive, they survive better. Yeah. Anyway.
So you're saying that'll just be more ambulance, like we don't have to wait for an ambulance to come from...
Well, what I was told is if an ambulance company, it's just the Medi-Cal, If it's just a commercial ambulance company, they get $400 a patient. If they're linked with a government program, and they get $1,200. That's just an example per patient. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of. I think the government is trying to benefit the public enterprises like our Five City Fire Authority could use a lot more money. Anyway, but that's just the future, looking at the future, and I always want to look at it rosy. Thank you. Any other questions? No. Questions from the public? Okay. Moving on to our consent agenda. Seven A and B.
I'll make a motion after a public comment.
Somebody want to second it? I'll second it so we can have public comments. Okay.
After public comment.
Yeah. Well, I said that's what I just said. Anybody want? Anybody from the public? Just call for a vote.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
President White?
Yes.
Director Montez?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
And Vice President Villa?
Yes.
8A, consideration of an appeal by Myron and Helen Leal for a water bill and provide staff direction as deemed appropriate.
Yes, President White.
Yes, thank you.
So, as was brought out in the staff report, the Leals do not live here. They have a home. They live in the valley. And evidently, they had some type of water overuse, but there was no leak. There was no break or anything that was fixed. They just had an extremely high water bill. And they couldn't identify the cause. So what usually is the case when that happens is perhaps one of the toilets had its flapper not sealed correctly and the water just kept running when nobody was there. And then eventually it seated itself because the water use has gone back down to normal now. So we have a leak relief program that I'm authorized to give relief for, but that's only if there is definitely a leak, that the leak's been fixed, and they haven't had a leak relief in the last 2 years. So I don't have any authority to issue any kind of relief. And that's why this item's coming to your board. They're requesting that this be treated similar to a leak relief item. And the way it works is you figure out what their average bill is for the same time period, and then you split the difference with the homeowner and the district on paying for that overage that was due to the leak. If it was a leak, or in this case, an unexplained usage of water. So that's their request, and it's really up to your board whether to grant this relief or not.
I will ask if anybody's here from the Leal family.
No, they weren't going to be able to make it.
Okay.
Coming from the valley.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. My first question would be, was there any indication of water thievery or water theft?
No, evidently this location is well protected by their neighbors. They've got cameras, and so there was no indication that there was. It could have been, but there is no indication that it was. It's really unexplained.
You said that something about 2 years. This happened 2 years ago with the same people?
No. So if you've put in for a leak relief within 2 years, you can't get another one.
Right. So, gotcha. Okay. So they've never done this at all?
No.
On the last, one of the last ones we discussed, didn't we ask the owners to install locks on their faucets?
Yes, that was a condition of granting the relief in one case that we had. Okay. So you can make, if you wish, you could make that a condition of granting relief.
So do we start discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the way I see it, it doesn't meet any of the qualifications, right? And this is a business. It's not a home that they live in. And businesses, you have risks when you have businesses. Part of it is something like this. I would think that if I had a vacation rental,
is this a vacation rental?
No, it's not. It's a vacation home, but it's not a rental, is what I read.
Yeah, it says the residence is a vacation home used a few days a month and is never rented out to others.
Yeah, I don't believe they use it for rental, but
it's a second home. Okay. So it's kind of like it's a risk. So, and it's only $200, so it's only $200. We could do it, I guess, but it's also.
Are we firm on that amount?
We're opening the gate for every other person that has a second home and doesn't check their flaps before.
That's what I'm concerned about, is are we going to set precedent and, oh, gee, I had an exorbitant water bill leak, so I'm going to request, and we did it for Party A, so now I want it done.
It's a policy already. We have a policy about leaks.
Right. That's if it's a verified leak.
And it's not.
That's in the past, we've also get one of these about every 2 years. But I wonder about the locks on the faucets as a requirement.
I didn't think that was a problem. I bet it was the toilet more than mm-hmm. toilet things. It just very slight, because sometimes they can do it.
Are we set on the amount? What if we just came to, I was reading $251. What if we just said, we'll give you a one-shot deal of $125? Is that even applicable, or it has to be, we pay our half, they pay their half, or there's no?
It's up to your board.
Okay.
That's why we're bringing it to your board. Okay. I have a formula that I use for the policy that has been adopted for leaks. They're requesting your board consider this similar to a leak. But it's really at your board's discretion.
I understand. Right, I understand.
I would support the relief and require the locks on faucets outdoors. Discussion.
Tell me more about these locks. What are the price of these locks? How many are we talking? One, two?
Depends on how many outdoor spigots. Probably every house has two or three, probably.
So they're locks on the actual spigot of the water faucet.
So you can't turn it on if you're not
there. Gotcha. Well, yeah, I understood.
Maybe Mr. Maricino might have an idea of how much those locks would cost.
Well, I'm sure they're not that expensive. They're only
probably 20,
those bib locks you can pick up down to Miners for anywhere from about $10 to $15 a piece. They just thread on and you put a padlock. So even if you turn the spigot on, there's no water that does come out. And a typical home, between one and three, depending on the type of home, condo. Exterior only.
Thank you.
Yes.
my position would be that we require locks and that we give them $125 credit only because, number one, it doesn't fit the criteria of a leak, and number two, I'm concerned that we're setting precedent, and I would not like to do that. So that would be my input on how we would handle this. We're offering something. I'm offering $125 grace credit. It's not the 250 or 251 they're requesting, and at 250 and okay. It's 250 and they're requesting? Mm-hmm. Okay, you know what? So let me, let's go, I'll go half of that. What's half of 250? One,
maybe can I suggest something?
Sure.
I believe on another one of these that we granted, we conditioned it on them purchasing a device that reads their water usage real time and notifies them. So for example, there's something called a Flume device that you put on your water meter and it will send a signal to your cell phone that the water's running, like if it runs for a couple hours. That to me would be, I think, probably preferable in their circumstance, mm-hmm. since they don't live there all the time. It would be in their best interest to have such a device. So that could be the condition you put on them. I believe they cost around $200, so the leak relief would basically pay for that device, and then it would hopefully not happen in the future.
And in reality, I've only seen, this is probably the third leak problem we've looked at since I've been on the board.
It doesn't happen. Yeah. I remember maybe three since
seven. That, I like that idea, Mr. Clemens. I support that idea.
I support we give them the credit of 215 and ask for that. That would pay for that item.
So as a condition of granting the credit, they purchase a device that reads their water usage in
absolutely.
Real time.
House that sits,
yes.
You know. So moved.
Okay. Thank you. Maybe second. Public content. Comment.
Is there any more public comment? Okay, do I have a motion and a second on this thing?
Certainly
motioned it.
I make a motion that we grant the leak relief to Myron and Helena Leal and require a Flume device as part of the leak relief.
I second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Roll call, please.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Vice President Bia?
Yes.
Director Montez?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes. Okay, on to our
B.
Too many papers. I would suggest that we hold some kind of special meeting to appoint. We have two people who've asked to be considered for the Division III seat on the Board of Directors. One of them, due to a family commitment, could not be here tonight. I don't know if the other, Beverly Joyce Sunson? Thank you for coming. Yes.
Oh, you are the one being considered.
Yes.
Okay.
There's another person.
There's another person who can't be here, but certainly, Joyce, would you like to come introduce yourself, please? Because you're here.
Good evening. I'm Beverly Joyce Sennison. I live here in Oceano on 22nd Street. Wilmar in 22nd, right on the corner. I recognize some of you from the community. And I've always been community-minded and an activist. I currently work with our most vulnerable citizens of the community as a job coach, so a lot of you might recognize me from every job site in the county. So, yes. So anyway, that's who I am. And I heard that there was a seat open, and I thought, well, if nobody else is interested, I would definitely like to help. Thank you.
What is exactly a job coach? Can you be a little more elaborate on that, please?
I work with people who are physically and or mentally disadvantaged, and they need help learning how. They need to be supported at their job. I help go out and find a job for them. I help them learn the skills it takes to have that job. A lot of it is practical life activities, like learning how to use a broom, or, you know, and like I said, and I have a nice caseload all over the county, so I'm everywhere.
So do you work for the county? Do you work for yourself?
No, I work for Pathpoint.
Pathpoint.
They are a vendor of Tri-County's Regional Department and the Department of Rehabilitation, and so that's our funding source, and then I get, you know, I get the assignment, and I go do my job.
Well, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Glad to see that people are interested.
Yes.
In the open seat.
And that is District 3, correct?
Yes. Yes. We have a deadline on District 3 coming up on October 7th. So we have to make some kind of, with two applicants, we have to have some kind of, I would like to interview both of them a little more extensively. And then,
so you're talking about next week, the meeting?
Well, I would hope if, the challenge will be to, if both of those applicants are available and we're available, and maybe staff just is going to have to try and put together some kind of a brief, it wouldn't have to be a very long meeting, but I'd like to see it in the daytime, maybe the late afternoon, where we don't have to pay overtime to staff. But
can we discuss the days right now between us?
Yeah, but it's up to the other two applicants need to be here,
right,
too.
I mean,
yeah.
You don't have to worry about overtime. Neither of us are paid right. Overtime, so
it's the same. Three people sitting here who don't
just
get
just what
overtime.
You wanted to hear, huh, Ms. Cassiola?
Maybe we could come up with 2 days. That,
yeah, well, yeah. Okay. Board members, please look at your calendars.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have a late afternoon day or, well, let me ask.
Like we've done before, 3 or 4, something.
Let me ask this nice lady. It's
Beverly.
Son, well, no, what's your last name? Sunnison. Is that mm-hmm. pretty close?
That's very close.
Is when would be a time when you might be available?
Well, I'm a very busy person, so I'm one of those people, if you don't have the time, you make the time. So I can make myself available.
Lunch hour, late afternoon, first thing in the morning. Okay.
If you give me a date, I'll just work it into my schedule.
Okay, thank you. Board members, who's got conflicts next week? It has to be done soon.
Monday I'm busy in the afternoon.
I am too.
So that's the third, right? Monday the third?
Yeah.
So I have an appointment.
That's the only day.
So three of us have something on Monday.
Thursday might be good. Thursday, that's October 6th.
And the deadline is the 7th.
That's fine.
Thursday works for me.
Thursday works for me.
So any time in the afternoon of Thursday?
I have to pick up my niece at Oceana School at 1:45.
So So anytime after?
Yeah, it just takes me
two
to read to drive her home.
Okay.
So anytime after 12, say?
Well, no, she's got a commitment, so maybe.
1:45, so before that or after.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Like, yeah, 2 o'clock, 2:15.
How about 2:15? Would that give you plenty of time?
2:30.
Or 2:30?
We'll check with the other applicant.
Yeah, and that would be, you know.
Just make sure it's after 2:15.
Got it down.
Okay, is that satisfactory to everybody?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. And we all have the information on both applicants?
Yes.
Okay.
It'll be a noticed meeting, so.
Yeah.
We'll give it to you again.
Yeah, okay. And we have no hearing items. Do we have any written communications or late written communications? Future agenda items?
I have something on a future agenda item.
Yeah.
Lynn Compton's last meeting is December 13th. And
can you talk louder, Bert? I can't hear.
I said Supervisor Compton's last meeting is December 13th, so I would like to put on the next agenda that we consider doing a resolution of appreciation to present at that meeting from OCSD. And then I'd also like to put on a future agenda item that we discussed at the last meeting, that we establish a policy for campaigning and elections for here, for inside the board meeting. So if we could talk about those things. First one is time sensitive, so on the next meeting.
Could you work with staff to prepare that?
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else? Any closed session tonight?
So.
Does the board?
Director Austin's recommendation for those items, is that something the board agrees with and wants to do?
Yes, I think that is proper. Yes.
I affirm.
Both of those actions?
Yes.
Okay. So we'll bring the one back soon and put the other one fairly soon.
Okay. It's just something that came up that we haven't had, and we really need to have it for the election campaigning and stuff in here.
Okay.
So we kind of know what we're doing.
No closed session?
Nope.
Well,
I move we adjourn.
Second.
Meeting adjourned.
All right.